Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody to the May 6, 2024 Berkey County Board of Commissioners meeting. And we have a call of order in a minute.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Chairman John Trent.
Present.
Vice Chair Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Corey Ballance. Commissioner Ron Wesson.
Present.
And Commissioner Michael White. Present.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Delegation pledge leader for Commissioner Ron Wesson.
Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we bow our heads in humble submission to you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to serve the citizens of beautiful Berkey County. We ask you, God, that you might empower us to put away selfish desires and to make decisions that would be in the best interest of the citizens we serve. Give us discernment that we might need to act responsibly, to respect the feelings of others, and to accept consensus. Father, we ask that all we do and decisions we make might be pleasing in your sight. We ask these blessings in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We've got a couple changes on the agenda. One is we have DOP here in reference to a resolution for the third rail. We'll make that line up one. And then we also have an exclusion that we're taking off, which would be the introduction of expanded food and nutrition program assistant Claire Hasselhoff. She's not here. Okay. Have a motion passed on the agenda. The first and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Okay, public comments. 3 minutes. Any public comments?
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Kevin Cooper from Blue Jay area.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple of comments. Number one is going to be the rock versus asphalt on the 8 mile stretch of Indian Woods Road. Number two is going to be the recreation building at Blue Jay. Who's in charge? Nobody in the community knows anything about what goes on there. How is it operated? Okay. And one other thing, I did ask the question there about it, and I was told that it was none of our business. Nobody had anything to do with their business. That's what I was told. At the building itself. I can give you a name.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. A gentleman here from DOD,
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Brooks Brazel. I am the project development engineer for Division One here in this division. And I had reached out to your email address and to your clerk to actually be added to the agenda, but evidently I didn't get added. But what I'm here tonight for is we have proposed a project. We have some funding available to upgrade guardrail along NC-11 in Martin County, Berkey County, and in Hertford County. So what we're trying to do is bring the guardrail into the more modern compliant guardrail, to basically bring the guardrail up to the new standards, what we would like to do. Now, the type of funding that I'm planning to utilize, I need a resolution of support from the board to be able to request that funding from our Board of Transportation. So I was hoping that the data that I had sent would be here so I could put it on the screen, but I do have the estimate and the sites on a map for you all. Now, then that's your chair. So that is the estimate for the proposed work in all three counties. And then also the sites that we will be upgrading the guardrail through. I think that basically just has Berkey County. I tried to blow it up as best I could. But, yeah, well, if we had electronic, I could zoom in on it so that you all could see it. But there's approximately 90 locations where we're planning on upgrading the end units of the guardrail and then also upgrading sections of guardrail that attach to those end units to bring them into compliance. So once I do the funding request, that could take 2 to 3 months for that to go through the board approval. Then at that point, that's actually an on-call contract. So at that point, once that funding is available to me and it's approved, at that point, we can basically send the request to the on-call contractor and they could get started shortly thereafter. So within 2 to 3 months, possibly you could see those improvements going in along NC-11. That's probably within Bertie County, that's probably a month's worth of work for that guardrail contractor to bring all of those up to the new standard, to basically removing those and replacing them.
Not
with this funding. We're just trying our best to upgrade those existing guardrails that we have. Now, if you'd like for me to come back and talk, we can talk about some other locations if you would like to have those. I completely understand. That's not what I'm here for tonight, but I'll be glad to have a sidebar conversation with you if there are some locations that that you would like to see guardrail placed. We'll do our best. Not everywhere we can put it because we may not have enough shoulder to place that. One location that I know of is essentially the River Field in between Williamston and Windsor. That's a location that we've tried to work with to hopefully maybe put guardrail, but there's just not enough shoulder there for that guardrail installation to be compliant with the offset that it's got to be from the travel lane. So we would have to actually widen the shoulder in a wetland area, also through a game land or federal area, to be able to install that guardrail. There are some areas there through that particular river field where we are going to do some bridge work here soon, and we may be able to do some minor improvements to some of the guardrail that's attached to the bridges, but that's yet to be determined. We're working through that plan proposal now for that.
That's a good thing. The funding budget they have is $852,000.
Yes, sir. But that's shared across the three counties. But what I will be requesting is $900,000 from the board to address those concerns along NC-11 in those three counties. So roughly, hopefully, $300,000 to $400,000 worth of work just in Bertie County that we're proposing to bring to you all.
I have to say, Chairman, that safety first and NC-DOT that need permanent temporary easements.
Hopefully all this work will occur on our existing right-of-way. But if need be, we'll do our best to work with right-of-way to acquire any extra that may be needed in the future. So,
yeah, I'd like to make both amendments for the resolution to add guardrails as indicated in the plan of action on how we roll out to support that.
Well, that's complete enough, but I need it in writing. Working with your attorney, that documentation has to go in with that funding request so that we can, yes, verbally take care of the.
But the motions are second.
I
thank
so much, man.
Yes, sir.
We always got to agree.
We got a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you all for your support. And anytime you'd like for NCDO to come back and speak, we'll be glad to address any concerns that you may have as a board and do any presentations that you all need. Thanks. I can send a template to the where the manager does it or attorney does it. Different. I'll send a template that you all can work with and have it drafted up. And if you want to, we can communicate back and forth, make sure it's like we want it before it gets signed. Thank you all for the help. All right. You all have a good evening.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next on the agenda, we have a resolution presentation. Ms. Marsha Smithwick, like to read this.
Oh, Ms. Smithwick, yes, please.
Good.
This resolution is an honor to service of this Martha Smith Grass Worship. Ms. Marsha Smith was retired in 1999 after serving 30 years as a teacher and band director in the elementary, middle, and high school levels simultaneously in Burlington County Schools. And whereas Ms. Smith was directed music and songs at Burlington County Schools that have earned consistent superior ratings that musical performance assessments in level 4 and 5. And whereas Ms. Smith was served as president of North Carolina Band Managers Association of Eastern District for 2 terms, as well as the president-elect past president for each term. And whereas Ms. Smith served as a senior high all-state honors band auditions chair for many years. And whereas Ms. Smith was recognized with the NCBA Award of Excellence and Burlington County Young Educators Award and Award of Excellence for Burlington County Board of Education. And whereas Ms. Smith was elected to the American School Band Directors Association and has conducted many all-county honor bands, as well as the Eastern District Senior High All-District Concert Band. And whereas Ms. Smith served as the president of the East Carolina School of Music alumni and was inducted in the North Carolina Band Managers Association Hall of Fame. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Burlington County Board of Commissioners hereby recognizes and honors the significant contributions Marsha Smith has made to music education in Burlington County and Northeastern North Carolina, adopted this day, the 6th day of May, 2024.
Appreciate
that. Yes, sir. Just as if it's as secular performing, and she does as up for person. Burlington County, just blessed to help a person of her integrity. She had done, and she's a great leader, a person that worked hard with the kids that she educated and done a superior job. We need more of this Marsha Smith. We need more. Thank you for your service.
And thank you for your support during the years that I was teaching. I had wonderful support from the county, from the parents, from the schools, and wonderful students. I got one up sitting right here.
I was waiting for somebody to be wet so I can say something.
He just received his doctorate in education this weekend, so amen. I'm very proud to have known all of you.
Thank you for mm-hmm. So wait, hold on. I'm going to say something. I don't get to say a lot of times. I just keep trying to talk. But
you talked a lot.
So I just want everybody to know from a personal place in my heart. Like, so she started teaching me in fourth grade, which was like the first year I think we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stuck around. I don't know who wanted to quit some days first, her or me, from each other. Like, but we stayed there from high school. I graduated in 1997. And I was her drum major for 2 years. And this lady really did have a lot to do with my life. And it kind of was a year-long thing from fourth grade on.
Every day. Well, from the sixth grade to the 12th grade, every day.
So,
taught him, so.
I love you.
My halo.
I love you.
Miss Bing.
Yes,
sir. Serious resolution of the
government. I'm special.
Yes, ma'am. You are special.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good. All right. Next on the agenda, the introduction of the new finance officer, Mr. Willie Mack.
Yes, Chairman, I will do that. Good evening, commissioners, and to the public and staff who are present. It gives me
great pleasure and honor to present the finance officer of Bertie County, Mr. Willie Matt Carowin. And just to give you all a little bit, tell you a little bit about Willie Mack. He is a retiree. His last stint of work prior to retirement was finance officer for Beaufort County Public Schools. And he's the only candidate we received that had experience that included being a county commissioner, being a town administrator, a county manager, and a finance officer in local government, as well as in school system. So we're so honored and very glad to have Mr. Carowin a part of our team.
Yes. Thank you.
And another part of that, Chairman, if I may, in the last year or so, we've received a change when it comes to the LGC and general statute. So now the amount of the bond for finance officer is dependent upon the size of our budget. And when you have a budget as big as ours, they say you can have it, the bond can be either 10% or a minimum of $1 million. And so I'd like to recommend to the board, if you would approve or set the bond amount for our finance officer at $1 million.
Yeah. Can I have a motion on that, please?
I make a motion that we set the bond for the new finance officer at $1
million. I'll second. So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion passed. Anything else, Ken?
That's off of that one.
Okay. Right. 2023 audit presentation by Baldwin Jenkins, LLC. Who's your name?
Leanne Vagasala.
Okay. It's me.
That's fine.
You can use the air.
Okay, perfect. As I just mentioned, my name is Leanne Bogasala. I'm an audit director at Maldens and Jenkins, and this is our first year as your external auditor. So the presentation probably will look a little bit different for you, but I do want to start by letting you know I have a set agenda in the PowerPoint presentation, but if you want to stop me at any time, please feel free. That's totally fine. I will cover who your engagement team is so you get an idea of the names of the folks that are working for the audit. I'll go over all of your audit opinions, go over some financial trend information and your compliance reports. And then there are a few slides that have recommended communication. And then I'll go through a couple GASB pronouncements that are coming up that we'll work with finance on. So this slide right here depicts who Maldens and Jenkins are. We've been in the business for over 100 years. We're based out of Atlanta, Georgia. A third of our practice is local governments. We served over 700 government clients in fiscal year 2023. We operate in 6 states and we have 14 offices. So your county audit is serviced at our Raleigh, North Carolina office. And your engagement team leaders, you have Tim Lyons. He served as your engagement partner. He was the one that ultimately signed your audit opinion. Grant Davis served as your quality reviewer. He's a second partner. So he just puts a fresh eyes on the financial statements and our deliverables. And then I served as the overall day-to-day operations manager. And then, of course, you had seniors and staff that also were on the engagement. We did some on-site work and some remote work. So this first slide is the first opinion that you have in your financial statements. It's presented on page 9 of your PDF, or if you have a printed version, it's on page 2. And this opinion states that our responsibility in the opinion says that we consider the internal control structure for the purpose of expressing an opinion on Bertie County's basic financial statements, but not for the purpose of expressing an opinion on the effectiveness of the county's internal controls. Our audit was performed in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles in the United States, as well as government auditing standards. Our objective is to provide a reasonable assurance, not absolute assurance, that your basic financial statements are free from material misstatement. But ultimately, the financial statements are the responsibility of county's management. For your report on your basic financial statements, you receive an unmodified opinion or a clean opinion. That's the highest level of assurance that we can provide, that your financial statements present fairly in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. But our responsibility does not extend beyond the report. So while you did receive a clean audit opinion, We did identify three material weaknesses and one non-compliance finding, which I'll go over in just a minute. So this next slide is an excerpt from your financial statements. It shows the expenditures and fund balance of the general fund. And what you'll see depicted here is that your expenditures for the general fund did go down a little bit this year. Yeah, so in your MD&A, you will see your management discussion analysis. You'll see a lot more in-depth information about your general fund balance for the general fund and what are the required or recommended percentages of fund balance that you should have available. What this slide depicts is that in fiscal year 2023, your unassigned fund balance in the general fund, now we're only talking general fund, represented 7.5% of your expenditures for the year. That percentage, while it went up from the prior year, is low. So what the LGC actually recommends, this slide is actually presenting incorrectly. So I'm going to show you the next slide, which is a little hard to see. But the LGC, that's the local government commission, they recommend that for an entity your size, that your available fund balance, that's your unassigned fund balance and your committed fund balance, should be around 20% of your general fund expenditures. The median for similar size units, such as yourself, a county, is 39%. So these are just metrics that they have available. And so this screen that you're seeing, we are required when we submit your financial statements to the local government commission, we're required to fill out what's called a data input form. And it has a slide of all these metrics that they want us to look at each individual entity. And on the input form, it triggered a red cell. So this is what we call a performance indicator. The county actually has to respond to all performance indicators that are on these slides that I'm showing you and tell the local government commission how you are going to address it and fix it. So the first one that you have is that your fund balance is low compared to similar, your fund balance as percentage of expenditures is low compared to entities your size. It is going up, but it's low. And so in your management discussion analysis, there is some additional information in there about fund balance, but that's one of the performance indicators you do need to address. The next one is that you had a late audit. Your audit is supposed to be submitted by October 31st each year. There is an extended deadline to December 1st, but your audit was late. So you will have to tell the local government commission how you plan to address that in fiscal year 2024. The other performance indicators that appeared that need to be responded to are that there was a budget violation noted in your financial statements. If you look at note 2, which is on page 59 of the PDF or page 49 of the printed version, you had budget violations in two different funds. One of the funds is the Disaster Recovery Fund. There was a deficit of $2,900, and that's due to timing issues. That fund should be closed out in fiscal year 2024. There was also a deficit in fund balance in the Water Access Phase 1 Fund. That's your tall glass of water fund. That's where that project is held in. There was a deficit fund balance of $142,000 in that fund, and that was due to the county not recording the local match that's required. So some of the expenditures in that grant have to be paid for with local money, and that's part of your federal and state regulations on your grants, that you have to do a local match to that. And so that should work itself out as that project comes to a close. The next financial performance indicator of concern is that you had material weaknesses in your audit opinion. And so you need to address those to the LGC of how you're going to address those material weaknesses. And then the last one is that during the year, the county was not in compliance with the bonding requirements for the finance director. So as the county manager said, you have to have your bonding for your finance director has to be at least 10% of your budgeted expenditures or $1 million. And so y'all just made action to fix that. However, unfortunately, you will see this finding again in fiscal year 2024. because of the timing of, you know, getting in compliance. But it's good. Like when you respond to the LGC, you can say we fixed it. Okay, the next slide is going over your compliance reports. You have three opinions in the back of your financial statements, the very, very back. The first one is a report on government auditing standards. It's called a yellow book report. That financial report package contains a report on the test of the county's internal controls and compliance with laws and regulations. The report is not intended to provide an opinion solely on internal controls, nor is it intended to provide a legal determination of the county's compliance. That report was performed in accordance with generally accepted accounting standards or governmental accounting standards, and you received an unmodified opinion for your Yellow Book report. Also, because the county receives a lot of federal and state funding, we had to audit four major programs this year. We audited two federal programs, the Medicaid program, and the Child Support Enforcement Program, and we audited two state programs, which are Part F and Juvenile Crime. When we audited those programs, we had to issue two additional opinions. One is compliance with the Uniform Grant Guidance, which is for federal programs. That report contained an unmodified opinion with no material weaknesses, but we did note two significant deficiencies. And then we issued a report on compliance for your state programs in accordance with the State of North Carolina Single Audit Implementation Act. Again, that opinion was unmodified or a clean opinion, but we did find two significant deficiencies. So the next slide actually skips straight to your federal and state award findings. So because Medicaid is a federal program, but it also has state programs, when we find a finding in Medicaid, you actually get dinged twice. Super not fair, but these are your federal and state compliance. The first one is that you received a significant deficiency over activities allowable and unallowable cost principles. And this basically had to do with your employees' tracking of their time, the time that was tracked on your individual's timesheets did not agree to what was submitted to the state. And so we address a significant deficiency for that. And then your next finding, 006, we address a significant deficiency over eligibility for Medicaid. So we reviewed over 60 case files. And in that, we found a non-custodial parent. When you have a non-custodial parent, there is a requirement that the information for that non-custodial parent gets sent to child support, so that they can begin to pay child support, and that was not done for one of the children, as it should be. That individual that was actually receiving Medicaid was eligible. It's just that there was a technical error in the way that the case file was done. And that is actually a repeat finding from the prior year. Any questions on the federal and state findings? Okay, so we're gonna move on to the other findings that you had. So when we're doing an audit opinion, there is a difference between a material weakness and a significant deficiency. Basically, when you receive a material weakness or a significant deficiency, we're saying that controls were not operating effectively. And what makes it a material weakness is the monetary amount in which we had to address. So the first finding that we had is called restatement of prior year balances. So during our audit, we noted there were multiple prior period adjustments that had to be posted to your financial statement. So basically, your fund balance for June 30th, 2022 had to be restated. And the first restatement was related to GASB 87, which was a standard that was implemented in fiscal year 2022. We also had some adjustments related to soil and water accounts payable. This is accounts payable balance that needed to be written off. And then we also had to adjust the USDA reserve for ambulance for $9,000. We also restated, again, the fund balance for governmental activities to correct the implementation of GASB 87. The net effect of that prior period adjustment was $35,000. We also restated governmental activities and the opioid fund for about $34,000 related to revenue that should have been earned in fiscal year 2022. It was actually recorded as a liability or unearned revenue. It should have been recorded as revenue under GASB 33. And then this next slide is a couple other adjustments that we had to do to restate prior year balances. We restated governmental activities, net position, because in your compensated absences, which is a liability where you have to pay employees for their sick or vacation leave, the estimate was overstated because the county included their elders' retirement calculation in there. So basically, you overstated that liability. It increased your net position to do that restatement to get it correct. And so we corrected that for fiscal year 2021, and we made sure to get it, or 2022, and we made sure to get it correct for fiscal year 2023. Yeah, you got money back. The next one is that, again, GASB 87 was implemented incorrectly in fiscal year 2022, and we had to restate the business type activities and the regional water fund for that. The net decrease was only $1, but it was essential to get the other balances correct. We also had to record earned revenue that had been deferred incorrectly in the prior year for $60,000. We also restated net position for $80,000 to remove an old retainage balance. And we also adjusted revenue for unbilled revenue for $142,000. So lots of entries that needed to be posted to fix the prior year balances. And then we also restated the municipal tax fund to correct tax receivable and net position by $89,000. So because of the magnitude of the entries across the funds, that was considered a material weakness. The next finding is related to revenue recognition. So when reviewing the tall glass of water fund, we noted that there was revenue that had not been recognized for $846,000 because of the amount of that. And that revenue that needed to be recorded, that was also considered a material weakness under GASB 33, which is a standard specifically addressing how do you recognize revenue, specifically for non-exchange transactions, which is what that grant money was. The next finding is 003. It's related to financial close and maintenance of general ledger accounts. Essentially, when we received your general ledger, we had to post material adjustments to get it correct. That first adjustment was $455,000 to properly record deferred inflows related to EMS revenue. We had to adjust $505,000 related to recording GASB 87 in the current year. And then we had to adjust $53,000 related to write-offs of unused prepaid taxes in the general fund. So a couple entries that were needed to clean up those books and records that we got. And then this last finding is actually a non-compliance finding. So when the county implemented GASB 84, which is related to fiduciary activities, there were two funds that were previously agency funds that were moved to special revenue funds back in fiscal year 2021. However, the county should have at that time created budgets for those new funds. And so we addressed a non-compliance because the pest management fund and the representative payee fund did not have the required budgets. Now, the representative payee fund under general statute does not have to have a budget. And so we did disclose that in your finding. However, our recommendation is that all special revenue funds have budgets so that no one gets confused of why they do or they do not have budgets. And so all of these findings that you've seen represented in these slides, these have been there's a corrective action plan already in place with management. The next couple of slides are required communication. These are things that I have to tell you as part of our audit by standards. The first one is that there are a lot of significant accounting policies that are disclosed in your financial statements. Those are responsibility of management. You could see those in note one of the financial statements. During the year, we did implement GASB Statement 96, which is related to subscription-based information technology arrangements. It was actually immaterial for the county, but we did have to go through the process of figuring that out. But based on this testing that we've done, all the accounting policies that the county has are in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And we are not aware of the county being involved in any controversial or emerging issues. The next thing is that in your financial statements, there are a lot of management judgments and estimates, and some of those are actuarially determined. So if you would like to read through all the disclosures, you can see every single time that we mention that there are judgments. But if you think about your OPEB and your elders and your LEOSA liabilities, those big liabilities, related to pensions and other post-employee benefits. Those are actuarially determined, but then you also have things like depreciation expense and allowances and stuff like that that have estimates in it. As far as the relationship with management, we received full cooperation from management. There were no disagreements. As part of the financial statements, in order to issue the financial statements, we did have to receive what's called a management representation letter, basically saying that management gave us accurate information in order to perform our audit, and that was complete and accurate. We are not aware of the county consulting with any other accountants other than a third-party service that did help get through the fiscal year 2023 audit, and there were no significant issues discussed throughout the audit. We did have one past audit adjustment. That means that there was something that we found during the audit that we determined was not material to the county, and therefore we did not book it into your general ledger, and that was the implementation of GASB 96. So every single year we'll keep track of basically GASB 96 as an asset and a liability to your books, and they almost net to zero. And so we determined that that net effect was not material, and we'll continue to watch it every single year. And every single year, we'll put it on your past audit sheets. You'll keep hearing it every year. And then just so you know, you do have a financial statements in front of you that have a lot of disclosures in there. As part of our audit, we do review the financial disclosures to make sure they are consistent with the testing that we're done. They're neutral, and they provide clarity to the financial statement numbers. And then I've mentioned a couple times that our responsibility for the audit of financial statements does not extend beyond what you see in front of you, and that I do want you to know that Maldas and Jenkins is independent, so we do give you your opinion and maintain our independence. And then as part of the audit, we do provide some recommendations to the county just as part of our testing, as part of walking through the processes that the county has. So there is a couple of slides on our recommendations. The first one is, you've heard me mention GASB 87, GASB 96. These are standards that require you to book additional things onto your balance sheet for the most part. And what you're booking is a right to use asset. And the county uses a capitalization threshold for all their assets of $5,000. So if the asset is below $5,000, they can expense it. If it's above $5,000, they record it in their financial statements. What we are suggesting is that the county come up with a new capitalization threshold specifically for GASB 87 and 96 that is not $5,000. So that is something that we can talk through with management of what kind of threshold that would probably appear reasonable based on the size of the county. The next recommendation is, during our testing of accounts receivable, we noted that the county does not have a formal policy for calculating an allowance for doubtful accounts for water services. During the audit, the county implemented a 3% allowance, and they're using that consistently going forward, but we asked that the county actually create and implement a policy of what they are gonna do with that going forward. The next, number three, is that every year the county, when they receive invoices from different vendors, they pay sales taxes. And then it's their responsibility to go back to the Department of Revenue and ask for reimbursement for that. That is usually done on a yearly basis, but based on our discussion with staff, it was noted that because of staff vacancies, that request had not been submitted. That's extra money to come back to the county, so we recommend that be done timely after the end of the fiscal year. Number four is, during our walkthrough of internal controls, we noted there are some segregation of duties issues related to the county's cash and expenditure cycle. We noted there wasn't segregation of duties amongst the employees that prepared the bank reconciliations. That was alleviated when a third party was brought in to help prepare those bank reconciliations. But during the year, there wasn't proper segregation of duties. The next one was related to the fiscal close. We noted that there was not proper segregation of duties among county employees who approve journal entries. So technically the same person can prepare the entry and approve it. That's not proper segregation of duties. We did sample journal entries, and when we sampled them, the journal entries were properly supported with backup information, but we did not see a proper segregation of duties. And so we recommend that the county take extra precautions to ensure adequate controls are in place over revenues, receivables, and accounts payable, and make sure they try to achieve true segregation of duties as possible. The number five, we've already mentioned, during our testing, we noted non-compliance with the bonding requirements or finance director. Sounds like y'all got that fixed earlier in the meeting. And then the last one is that we noted during our view of the general fund that we asked that the county actually review their accounts payable ledgers. There are some general ledger accounts where the accounts payable balance hasn't changed from year to year, and it should be moving. Now, these balances are ultimately all immaterial, but just a clean, fresh look through the accounts payable ledger and try to clean up some of those balances before fiscal year 2024 ends. So that is all the girth of going through what happened in the audit. There are two GASB pronouncements that are coming up. GASB 100 is applicable for the fiscal year coming up, fiscal year 2024, and GASB 101 related to compensated absences is applicable for fiscal year 2025. We will work with finance to make sure they're understanding those GASB statements and we're properly implementing those. And then GASB also has some other major projects that they have in the works. There is a re-examination of the financial reporting model, which we expect a final standard sometime in 2024. There's a revenue and expense recognition project that we have to wait all the way to 2027 to hear about. And then there's a going concern, uncertainty, and severe financial stress project that we expect to have a draft on in mid-2026. So as these come up, we will make sure we keep finance informed about what's going on. One additional thing that that Models and Jenkins does offer is advisory services. We listed here on the slide. Some of these we can do and maintain independence and some that we cannot do. So if there's ever a project that the county feels like, hey, maybe the auditors can help with this, we could definitely assess it and see if we can help. And if we can't, we can refer you out to another accounting firm. And then this last slide is basically says that as an extra service to our clients, those that require continuing education, we do offer quarterly trainings. That's 8 hours, 4 times a year for CPE. And these are some of the different training classes that we have recently taught. And that's it. Does anyone have any questions?
All right, so the first question I have is,
why was the audit late? The audit was late. So when we began the audit, the thought was that we would get it done timely, at least by the December 1st deadline. But I think a lot of it just had to do with turnover, having new auditors, trying to get acquainted with everything that we needed. Also, you had implementation of GASB 96 that required your third-party firm to come in and help with. And then also just the amount of journal entries. Whenever you have prior period adjustments, it requires us have to do a lot of additional work because not only do we have to notify your prior auditor, but we have to get additional consultation with that prior period adjustment.
So then I have a question. Since y'all were part of auditors last year.
This is our first year. Oh, yeah. Okay.
2023.
Right? Yes.
So, like, when are you going to start and should it be on time for 2023?
So we started all our fiscal year 2024 planning May 1st. So as soon as we are able to bill the county and collect our fee, we are able to start fiscal year 2024. So we generally do all fiscal year 2024 planning in May and June, all single audit testing during the summer. And then we start most of our counties. If they want to go out by October 31st, they have to start their audit by the end of August. It's a tight turnaround.
Arkansas, first of all, thank you for the work you've done, Father and David. I think it should be said that, you know, the reason that we changed firms and went to your firm, not just because of their reputation, but we wanted to have a tighter review of where we stood. So it's good to know that findings that are here are very clear to us, I think, and they are fixable. Mm-hmm. That is the key. And the thing I would wanted to ask to look at, I think you answered some of it, is whether or not you offer consultative services to help us address some of the concerns that you know, right? We have a new finance officer coming in. We had a significant lapse of time when we did not have, we had a person that was interim, who that I thought had submitted his job, just holding things down in the basic course. But we want to make sure that these things are addressed as soon as we can, clearly. We're all halfway through the year,
mm-hmm.
right? So can you tell me a little bit more about the consultation services you offer? Can you specifically come in and help address some specific items of how we might work with those in the place that we're trying to do?
We can provide recommendations. So as far as your journal entry process or, you know, your cash receipts process, anything that we saw segregation of duties issues, we can provide recommendation. Where we draw the line is we can't perform any management tasks. So we can't post any journal entries or anything like that. But as far as going through the findings that happened during the current year and assuring that they don't happen again, that's something that we can help management, maybe help create a checklist. Like, hey, you need to, you know, at your financial close, you need to make sure you do this, 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 and this to have, you know, a record to make sure that that stuff doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm.
There, guys, making steps to make sure that we don't have the same space.
Right, right.
I think also we're offering assistance, training, and things of that nature that helps address. That's so it's probably more professional. Modeling we've had for the years.
Thanks. Thank you. We spent a lot of time on the audit.
and some of these are important members, you know, because you're looking back at
yeah.
We have a lot. So we're going to make the effort and we're going to help.
Yep, that sounds good. And I mean, we're very dedicated to meeting the October 31st deadline. We've already rolled your financial statements for the next year. We're ready to go. So the process, I mean, it could definitely be done to issue October 31st. We just have to make sure we put timelines in place.
Thank you. Love to see it done on time.
Thank you. This is the first time in 4 years. We thank you. You know, I even look back, because without the finance director, sometimes things don't get done timely, and David done a super job, you know, by pitching. But, you know, without a permanent finance director, things tend to have gotten a little flat. But we thank you. I know you and Mr. Carl, we work very close together. And we get it done on time.
I told him I would give him a couple weeks before I hit him hard with his list. He said he started on Wednesday.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
Next up, the best of the Congress.
I'd like to say first off that I think Leanne, when she about a week into it, she's probably wondering what they got themselves into. But we work really well with them, and I'm really happy with what they've done. And so it's exciting to hear that she's still interested in coming back. I am also hoping that this will be my last official financial summary report, and we're going to train the new finance director on what to do so he can come up here next month. But if you'll see this, this is through March. We've 83%. You'll see that our revenues are right around 66% collected, but our expenditures for the fiscal year are still below that. So we're okay. I mean, in terms of we're not overspending. We've talked to our department heads and issued them a directive to any type of spending for the next 2 months should be cautiously reviewed, and anything over $5,000 would have to be approved by the finance director from now until the end of it. We've also encouraged them that if they have a position that's vacant that they don't need to fill right now, to at least consider that thoughtfully before they fill that spot. But outside of that, I really don't have any real major concerns. So I would leave it up to you to see if there's any questions you have.
Question: you put one capital for us, about 6% of the past college.
We're sorry.
The working on capital management trust and your cash outlays.
Well, again, you want to remember that's money that comes and goes based on it's DSS money that comes in and gets transferred over. Yes. It's not, I mean, it's really just kind of in and out. It comes in at certain times and turned around and goes to DSS or it goes to the bond payment. That's where we get to pay our bond payments and stuff from. So, and you'll see a decrease next month anyway in that because we just paid several bonds for the 6 months. So,
I know in some prior years, difficulty that impacted the balance because we had not collected some of the outstanding funds too much. We kind of learned over the years to kind of keep an eye on that, try to make sure that we are getting reimbursement on time. It truly, truly hurts when you have a loan account and you have to money back, right? So I know it's still early, but do you foresee any significant kind of outlays that are problematic for us?
Commissioner Weston, right now, the only reimbursements that we're anticipating or expecting right now are the Golden Leaf, little bit of Golden Leaf that we've got left, and that's less than $50,000, roughly $50,000. So I don't see any other, we don't have any other reimbursements that we're anticipating right now. So
maybe I can talk to you about this week, the last $52,000, and then
we'll make sure. You know, it's not a big deal, but we want to make sure it's clear before they end up next week. They said that's no problem. Okay. So, we'll look at the utilities. We have computer storage billing out, things of that nature, which collections, I guess, are still down because of that. Is that correct?
Yes, you mean with the
department?
Exactly. Oh, yes. Definitely.
How are we looking as far as getting this picked back up?
We are back on schedule.
Yeah.
As you know, since from October till this last month, April, we were not charging any late fees because of the issue with printing and getting late bills, but we are back on track now. Yeah. And so there was a message on the water bill that went out this month that late fees will begin.
Okay, so the percentage of lost revenue has decreased now, correct?
Yes.
It has decreased. Okay.
I will point out, though, if you'll look at the water, the utilities, I mean, the sales and services are at about 82%. So they are catching up to where we should be at this point in time. Ricky and his group have done a really good job of monitoring their expenditures. They're way below what they would normally be. And I will tell you that normally you get another column on this report that says what the percentage was last year. But this report was not run last March, so I didn't have those numbers to give you. So,
Do we have, should I ask something? So, do we know how much sales tax that we could ask for about how much that would be? But when Ron asked about how much money we could be getting, she said you could ask to save for your sales tax back and revenue back. It's called a clawback. Do we know about how much that could be?
I don't.
I can find out. I don't know right now.
So 6.75%.
You can count everything other than labor. So it can be a substantial amount of money. That a $4.1 million project that we're doing on the teaching housing project, we're doing the clawback. And we're estimating $367,000 for that. You can't do labor.
I can try and have something for you, but
I don't know if you keep, if your system allow you to not have to go in and look at everything for us, but pull out the sales tax number.
I'm pretty sure it does, Mr. Wilson, but I'm not going to promise you that.
But the only problem is knowing what rules are and something that you cannot call that. Right? There's a list on the site of the two things that are not eligible.
Yes.
Right. So you run that and just take out the ones that are not eligible. You file a report, it's going to take maybe 90 days or so. We have lost it. We can go back next year again. So prior years. They've got to do work.
Now, we need to do the work.
Yes, sir.
We need to do the work.
That's it.
That's it.
Thank you.
I'm number 5 too, so I just thought I'd stay up here in case you had any questions. And number 5, just a grant that the council agent got that we needed to increase their budget. So it's not in here for some reason, is it?
Or we're not on
the ship grant?
We're not on consent.
We're not on consent.
Oh.
Brush it out.
I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go back to my seat now. Thanks.
All right, next thing is let's make our board appointments. We have the Mid-East Regional Housing Authority, Vivian Saunders.
Chairman, I make the recommendation that we support the renomination of Ms. Saunders in agreement with the recommendation on that.
Can I have a second, please?
Sorry.
We have a first and a proper second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Consent agenda. Approved Registered D's fees report, X-2024. Motion, please.
So moved.
Motion, we have a second.
Second.
A second. All in favor, say aye. Approved Tax Release Journal, April 2024. Have a motion, please.
Approved.
Have a second.
Second.
First and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approved A1A agreement between Berkeley County and its Greater Group Architectural LLC for Emergency Communications Facility.
David said that. So this is the agreement that we have with Schrader for the construction of the 911 communications facility. And Jonathan reviewed that. Do you have any thoughts or changes that are needed to that?
No, sir. I found it to be in standard AIA form and to me.
Yeah, sure. You know, the format and how they presented it was sure. It's not very classical. From this, got a lot of work, right? But when I was looking at their administrative expenses, percentages that they're charging as part of this, do we actually, you know, review that in terms of similar projects? Because they listed several similar projects, including those in accounting, right? And even when you look at the minus end of the amount of our project compared to those similar projects, that our costs were higher. And I don't, you know, I'm just concerned. Is there a way to know if we are, if those are in line with what we should be charged for administrative? That it was significant dollars, $500,000. How do we know that that's appropriate? That's the right amount. And I kept going back to it, looking at it, saying, well, what do we measure that against other than the ones they showed us in the books? And is that, you know, I don't know what the recommended percentage of administrative costs by size of the project should be. We're not experts.
Right.
So I don't know.
Right.
That's the only concern I have. I know they did a bunch in Martin County, they had seven of those counties around us.
Mm-hmm.
David, do we have any way of knowing whether or not can the agency of the state can tell us that these are appropriate charges for administrating this kind of work?
I know with my former agency, there's always a certain percentage
right.
that they charge for an administration fee.
So, yeah, they layer that. Right. I would, you know, I'm sure they're a reputable firm. They've done a lot of great work. Recommend it to us, but I would just like to speak to some look.
She is online if you'd like to speak to her and ask her about it. Lisa? Sure. She was. Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Lisa Shorter with Mission Critical Partners. I'm the owner's representative for the project. And just to clarify, when you're talking about construction, are you talking about the construction administration, the oversight of the work that happens on site for $79,927?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you broke it out, but what's the administrative cost of managing the project?
Okay. The construction administration is $79,927. And that's the architect leading the meetings throughout the construction process?
No, I'm talking about the larger amount, the total amount for that whole administrative piece that's somewhere around, I think, about $500,000.
Page 75.
My question is there a percentage cost for a job the size of ours that we can know here within that spectrum of coverage?
Yeah. A typical architect engineering firm will charge anywhere between 8% and 11%. Schrader's actually on the lower end of that typically. I believe this one is around 8.5. I can double check. If you turn to page 20, under Article 11 of the AIA, it will give you a breakdown. And
right, so that is the percentage that kind of the recommended percentage is over here. And you're on the low end of that spectrum, is that right? What I heard?
Yeah, so anywhere between 8% and 11%, and I believe Schrader is around 8.5 on this. I'd have to do the math real quick. But just so this is more than just administration. This is the complete design of the facility, and this would include any site surveys, any wetland delineations, any geotechnical work that needs done. There's all of that site development. And then this would include also, of course, the design development, the construction documents. They oversee the bidding for you. They have a small reimbursable in there of $5,000 as well. But just so everyone's aware, most of those are optional services right now. What you would be working for today is the approval of $104,908 for schematic design. And this is money that is completely reimbursable in the NC911 grant that was awarded Bertie County late last year. And that grant was for $5,129,000.
Again, I think you've explained it. My concern was for the subtotal basic services, about $444,039 that included more than schematic design, but design development, contingent documents, bidding, and construction administration. That total to $444,000. So is that the percentage that you say would fall within that 8 to 11% this year?
Yes, sir, it does. What the projected construction would be, and the projected construction is just under that $5 million. The rest is technology.
Okay.
One question to the attorney is that we still have a $1.3 million match for this, correct? We've got to get it. That's not correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Do we have that money available?
We are working on it, and our economic development director is don't have anything official to share in, but we are working on getting that. That's 1.3.
Yeah. We ask for a motion to accept this.
Yes, sir.
Because we have a just attorney, we still feel about stage where we get just $1.3 million, can we accept the contract like that?
Right,
because this time I don't know of any problem money.
Oh, sure.
Sir.
And we have discussed maybe the $1.3 million they have to pay all at one time. And
you guys tell me where they're going.
$1.3 million could be financed for three or four years. So we will have to up the $1.3 at one time. So we're like,
yes, Eric, we're on the bill.
Yes, sir. What you just said was the 1.3 will not have to be paid all at once.
It will not have to be paid one time.
That is correct.
This is something that we're going to, which Robinson's point, is that we're going to make a decision how we do that. And I bet you got
right. Yeah, so that is correct. That is correct.
So can we approve this now?
Yeah, the way it's supposed to be done, because the attorney had been kind of big once before, we don't have plenty of programs already, we can't make a decision for something like this. Perfect. Is that true?
Well, I was speaking to you about the pre-audit statement that typically comes at the end of every contract saying that the finance director says that this money for this is allocated and available. So I don't know much about grant, when the grants are available, but I do know that it used to be.
Now, obviously, I don't want to pass the grant, but I also don't want to commit something that we don't, that is not according to the law as it was explained to us.
Yes, sir. I understand that concern. My understanding is that it could be passed because, again, we have time. It doesn't have to be paid right now. We have time to work out exactly how it will be paid because it doesn't have to be paid all at once. And it doesn't have to be paid now. But if you all are not comfortable, that's something that we can.
Comfortable, it's true.
If I may, you're talking about the contribution from Bertie County for the construction portion of the grant. The design portion will take about 10 or 12 months. Construction wouldn't begin until April of 25. So you wouldn't have to obligate any money toward construction until the design is complete and you bid a contractor and you contract with that contractor, probably around March of 25.
So we can vote to approve the $100,000 for the company.
This, yes, these fees are 100% reimbursable from the NC 911 grant.
Hey, just getting everything out here.
No, we're not. Still do the design. If we don't have the money, we can pass it over. Just open the.
Just trying to get all up.
Right, please. Go.
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that your team had decided to approach it as a phased service instead of pulling the trigger on all of the design work was so that they could do a costing after the schematic design was complete. And if they needed to go to the board and make an adjustment to the square footage or to the budget request, that would be something that we could talk about at that time.
Okay, all right. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to move this project forward.
Second.
Up there, first and second. All in favor say aye.
No.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Our next on the agenda is approved resolution in favor of change to the North Carolina House Finance Agency method of allocating tax credits for development. This has been held at being supported myself for about 10 years now. The purpose of North Carolina House and Agency to hold tax credits, federal or state, just for the simple fact that we'll have a grocery store within a reason of 2.5 miles, that's indicated here, to the subdivision that would go back to developers to bring them into Berkshire County to develop subdivision and things of that nature. Without this, that's a 9% tax credit that we get per year, okay, over amount of years. So we do not have that. As we all know, we have one grocery store. We decided we would build a housing subdivision or develop one of the subdivision in West Bertie County. We would not get the federal or state tax credits because of the way the rules and regulations are written up by the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. When we deal with that, and it says 2.5 miles from a grocery store or 2.5 miles from a pharmacy, and there's some other things that go along with that. Okay. In reading this, was Jonathan did an excellent job in the time frame you had to put this together. I think everything I see here looks great, but in reading this, not only how we put a little bit more teeth on this, now therefore we give yourself Bertie County Commissioner's request to North Carolina Housing Finance Agency to make changes to its QAP that allow a longer driving distance from the grocery store, shopping center, or pharmacy, has broadened the definition of grocery. And I think it should say, it should include Dollar General, Family Dollar, shop and amenities. That makes areas poverty level a positive factor and not a negative factor for the QAP scores and tiebreakers, and that the NCHFA take all available further action that is not inconsistent with this resolution. Now, that's my personal opinion. We need to add these in here because they hypothetically, you look at Bertie County, okay? There's no grocery store in West Bertie County. You got 8,000 people that are looking from Mount Olive all the way back down. You got your highest employment over there with over 3,000 people working down Griffin Quarters Road. No grocery stores, no pharmacies, nothing of that nature. Developers come because they can make money. Developers come because they can get the federal and state tax credits. Turn around and get 9% a year for the next 10 years on a project you're putting in to reinvest it. So, no, that's how you create the economic flow of another project, okay? Because it's got to be reinvested into another project. So, under these standards, I think this here needs to be stuck put in here so that we're more point specific for what we're saying. Does anybody have an issue with that?
No, Mr. Chairman, you're 100% correct. I think I'll make a motion with those. Amendments added into the resolution because West Bertie, not only West Bertie, Maryneal and other areas too in the county, a lot of this geographical, Bertie County is one of the largest counties in the state with one grocery store, one pharmacy. I'm embarrassed. We can do better. And we don't do better by this resolution being passed so that our legislators know that, hey, we're not in Berkshire County sleeping. We are wide awake and we want better. So I'll make the motion that.
Before you make one, I want to say, yeah, first of all, I think this is a tremendous idea. Jonathan, as you know, I went last year to Tyler Lulligan's seminar on this beach, 9% and 3% set aside. And the fact that I think Jonathan is, not only if we can pass this resolution, but send it to other counties so they can consider it as well. I can tell you that we get a lot of support. Because at that conference, everybody, all the rural counties are being harmed by this, right? And the resolution is putting more concern and more of the money is going to urban areas who have stores and these amenities, and they can more easily get it. They made some subtle changes based on more scoring around the need, right? But that's not enough to vouch for where we are. If we send this out, we will get a flood of other counties supporting this. And I think they might get the legislators' attention because their claim is that there's a big lobby, the contractors' lobby, that does not support these changes because they say we're interfering with private sector development. Now, trust me, those private sector companies who can go to Elizabeth City or go to Greenville and build the same thing they build here, that's why they go there rather than here. That they can get a 9% set. It makes us competitive, right? So we need to push so the rural counties get a better break. And they only pass about less than 40 of these every single year. That application is $10,000 per, and if you don't get it, and over four times as many apply, you lose that $10,000. So it's hard for us to attract people. So
the rules need to be changed. And most counties agree, most rural counties would agree.
In my meeting with Mr. Spade and his associates last week, the Vice Chairman of Learning, and they're going to support this resolution in changing these rules. People need to understand that these aren't elected officials that sit on this commission. These are people who are appointed to this commission that are civilians, as I'm going to call them, that are appointed to sit on that board, okay? And they're the ones that are making the rules. They're the ones that are governing what we do and how we do it. But again, we have no more sitting on that board, okay? So this here would open up the floodgates to developers. We've had many developers coming in here that have been talking about what to do. Hypothetically, if you had an 80-unit project, okay, that was going in, okay, that would be about a $918,000 reimbursement back to the contractor being reimbursed back into another project, okay? Has to be reimbursed back into another project. That's how you get the wheel moving. Okay. This is what we used to do in Florida also. Okay. And that's how it kept it moving. All right. And that's where we're at. If we don't include these things and make a standoff as far as what we do have, then they're just going to jump, skip. They could say, okay, we're going to move to 4 miles. We're going to move to 5 miles. That's not good for us. Okay. And these are things. And also, what needs to be stated is that they have another page okay, that states what grocery stores they will allow in this program. Not all grocery stores, but what grocery stores. Okay? And that's the deal. And that's the reason we're being point specific as far as what we're talking about with Dollar General, Family Dollars, things of that nature, because they are selling food in these areas. Okay? And you'll see that. Okay?
Yes, sir, they do. They have a specific list of groceries in Dollar General. Family Dollar are not on that list. Those two are listed under the general term shopping, but you don't get as many points for shopping as you get.
No, you don't.
Down is based on SSC classification. They don't give the same classification Dollar General for small things they do all mostly. So that's why we recommended in a meeting with Tyler that change the SSC classification to allow a broader area, and it would be okay. But you know, the people who are knocking this, private contractors, who they say, you know, building this with subsidy and it only goes to a few, penalizes the rest of them. But they got to see it from the rural county standpoint. Folks that really need a house, it hurts us.
And it is nothing more than social and economic discrimination. That's what it is, because the world was like that. And that's what we're going to take that on. We've been doing this for the last 5-6 years. And
that's all the other children. In the town, we sit down and meet with the Secretary of USDA, and he said, Berkshire County on which you guys go forward. That's what we need to do. We need to approve this resolution and move forward. Okay. Anytime we sit down with the secretary and his assistant, and they said, we're behind you guys. But hey, you got to take the horse and leave. And go ahead, approve.
All right, two changes I put in this resolution. Everybody can drink one.
Good.
Okay. Have a motion, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Yeah, we have a motion of Mark second. All in favor of passing the resolution requesting changes by the North Carolina Qualified Allocation Plan that is used for the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency to score the developer's application. The low income housing taxpayers' credit. We have a motion of second. All in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Motion passed.
Yes, sir. I'll make those changes and I can recirculate it if you'd like.
If you could, please, yeah.
Yes, sir. I'd like to do that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Good. All right. Other items of discussion. We got shipwreck.
All right, again, this is just a grant that the Council on Aging received, and it's an increase in their budget and revenue, so we need to approve it so they can move forward spending the money on it, which she is prepared to do.
Yes.
She's waiting on y'all to say yes so she can spend it.
Yeah, motion, please, we should approve. It's approved. Have a second.
Sir.
There's a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm discussing the agenda. May 20th work session community meeting room at 10 a.m. With Dr. Superintendent's budget request presentation and manager's budget presentation also.
I will be there.
You will want. Okay. All right, next commissioner's budget work session. We have options for the 21st, 24th, 28th, and I think that's 28th and 30th. I think we talked about the 28th and the 29th. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, I'm okay. All right, 28th and 29th is going to be at 10 a.m. and we're going to be inside this room right here, okay? All right, budget public hearing set for June 3rd, 6 p.m. Commissioner Schmidt. Okay. All right, Ms. Robinson, you get district report.
Sure, I'm sure with the Bruce Kevin. Please, please come out May 17th at Berkshire County Middle School. Please, Rachel, Berkshire County Middle School, May 17th at 6 o'clock for Berkshire County Relay for Life and help support the cause. I really thank you. Please. Thanks,
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, just a few things, Chairman. Thank you. First of all, most of you know, I'm a trustee of Governor's 14 to Mark Community College. And this Friday, coming up on May 10th, I will be the commencement speaker at the graduation for Martin Community. We have about 154 students who will march, maybe more who will get it free. Those are the number that will be marching. So I invite you to come out and celebrate the achievement of our students. We have the second largest segment of students at Martin Community College come from Berkshire County, many of our students. And I count it an honor to have been asked to deliver this year's commencement address. So I'm looking forward to it at 6:30 on Friday the 10th, which is Friday. Also, I want to report that on the May 19th, Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church is following up to the Medicaid expansion day that we had, and they're coming out to do it again at Mount Olive Community College. And then a lot of people signed up, the SF will coming out and support it. And I've just heard through a little bird, you probably know more about this, Mr. Officer, than I do, because you serve on that, but they are going to be given an award in terms of the progress that has been made by DSS. Our new director of DSS has done a tremendous job. She's going to be recognized for the work, not only helping us recruit here, but working with all the MIDIs and all the other agencies around the work that we do at DSS. And we've done a great job of Medicaid expansion. As you know, the governor and the secretary of Health and Human Services came here to Bertie to celebrate our success. We had a packed house. And that was because of the work that we've serving on the board of the Mr. Robinson, and work with the director's benefits, this measurement. Also, I want to announce that on June the 2nd, our partners for Berkeley County Public Schools will have their ribbon cutting and open house for our new teacher housing complex. That's a Sunday, June the 2nd at 3 o'clock. So the public is invited to come out and tour the complex. We're virtually complete. We're not going to bring in our teachers until 1st of July. But my co-chair, my vice chair, Commissioner White, has done a tremendous job in terms of working to help us get our students filled, and just the board has done a tremendous job. I want to thank him for his work on that. While I'm there, everybody should know Commissioner White is now Dr. White. And we want to recognize him.
Thank you,
Ryan.
I don't have anything.
Okay, but it's done. That's done. I think we'll have a couple things. We got $5.5 million coming from the state budgetary for emergency services. That's to be sent out and become to us. When decisions will be made, we'll have another work session about how this money will be allocated. You have a list of how it be moved. How to move is what we'll come up to the conclusion of how we get where it needs to go. Second thing is, when Congressman Don Davis was here, I met with him and spoke to him in reference to emergency services again. Also in reference to, hypothetically, like different corporations we have here in our county, and infrastructure, where we have utilized them, that different road and fire hydrants, things of that nature. And there has been another grant that put in for the federal government, Homeland Security, and also, I believe, David, what's the other one we put in for?
It's tied in with USDA and FEMA, and then they're trying to gear it toward
right.
industrial park. So I think it's going to be pretty much geared towards Western Berkeley.
So, and I think the total allotment, if you add it all together, somewhere around $4.7 million. That would put us right in the cast, setting where we need to be at, I think. And again, those are the things that we've been coming up with, and everything's wrong. That's all I've got. Mr. Manager, do you got anything?
No comments tonight.
Okay. Mr. Attorney, do you got anything?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. So a 3 minute comment section. Anybody here need 3 minutes?
Mr. Jury?
Yeah. No, okay.
Mr. Bob, can I give these to you? The commission? So they're thanks for the
good evening, Chairman Trent. Oh, nice.
I
think you do. That's wonderful.
I don't have one at home, but I'd love to say it. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Bob. Good evening, Chairman Trent, Vice Chair Robertson, and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. My name is Rachel, and I'm here on behalf of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Tonight, I would like to introduce you to a few dogs that come from just one property in Windsor. This is Lazy. Lazy spent his entire life at the end of a chain. He was often found so tangled that he barely had any space to move. We almost always find the dogs on this property without access to potable water or adequate food. And this is how we found his water bucket once. And this is one of many photos that we have on this case. On one visit, Lazy had in his food bowl only crusty old pasta. One day his owner called us because she had found Lazy dead behind his doghouse. He had been lethargic and not eating for a few days, but was never taken for emergency veterinary care. When we went to the property, we found bubbling raw chicken, rice, and maggots in his food bowl. We were given the permission to take his body for a necropsy. The owner felt that the neighbors had poisoned him, but it turned out that he died of a severe parasite and flea infestation, and he also had uncooked rice in his stomach. That was all he had in his stomach. This is Lady. Lady was another dog on the property. She was also kept tethered 24/7 and was also found without water, food or water on most occasions.
lady was bred and her puppies. Whoops. Sorry. Her puppies, 4-month-old puppies. When we found them, they were filled with worms. They had no food or water, and they were absolutely ravenous. They had never seen a veterinarian, and the residents were selling the puppies for $250 each. Later, we found out that lady had actually died on her chain. We never really found out why. This was her on one of our visits. As you can see, she was starting to lose weight. This was Ghost. This was another dog on the property that was kept tethered 24/7. Ghost was given away to somebody. We have no idea what happened to him. And on our latest visit, just a few weeks ago, there's a new chain dog on the property named Daisy, who was covered in fleas, had no food or water, and they are breeding her and selling her puppies. Had there been an ordinance in Bertie County prohibiting tethering in extreme weather, 24 hours, and requiring duties of ownership, law enforcement and animal control could have gone on this property and prevented the suffering of all of these dogs and the deaths of Lady and Lazy. Thank you very much.
I'd like to make just a couple of comments. Sure.
Good evening. Just to let you know a couple of things that are going on month of May for the Council on Aging. May is Older Americans Month. We will be celebrating that, and I extend an invitation to our county manager and all of our commissioners and anybody else who wants to come. We will have a celebration on May 31st. I'm working on getting the flyers out for that. I'll make sure you get some. And also, we are having, as part of that SHIP grant that was just approved, we received that from the Department of Insurance to have a shred truck. That was something that was mentioned when I first came on board. People wanted a means to shred all the junk they get in the mail. So we are having a shred truck come from Raleigh that will be parked at the senior center from 9 to 1 on Friday, May 24th. We will also have our sheriff is going to do some presentations on scams particular to Bertie County. We'll have a representative from the NC Department of Insurance talking about Medicare fraud. We'll have someone from the credit union talking about financial fraud. We'll have our new literacy educator from Extension who will come and talk about computer fraud. So it is a wonderful event that I please, you know, if you would spread the word about, that we would love to have as many people come and take advantage of that as possible. Everything is free. We're working with Media's Commission to hopefully feed everybody as well. So lots of things happening in the month of May. So I'd just like to extend an invitation that anything that you would like to see at the senior center, you have an open invitation to come anytime you want. Yes.
I'll say this personally. How pleased I am about your leadership.
Thank you.
The senior center. I mean, there's a buzz all over the county.
Good.
In terms of how satisfied people are and the new energy that's out there. I hear them talk about all the trips that are being planned.
Yes, we're going to Raleigh tomorrow.
Yes, I want to make it clear. I'm
a senior citizen. Yes, yes.
I'm going to be on that.
All right. Well, glad to have you.
You're really doing a fantastic job. And a lot of people don't know, but the work at the Senior Center under the new leadership, it's the reason that we got that $300,000 grant that was given to us to look at the network about expanding kind of health care and the related discussion and planning mm-hmm. in the county. And we're going to try to, we talk about our spending our our dollars for opioid mm-hmm. settlement. We also want to talk to that group.
Yes.
How they can give us some support. Because they're doing a lot of legwork, bringing mm-hmm. everybody together. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's been
Keep up the great work.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. And I want to thank y'all. The county support is absolutely wonderful. I was a director in Northampton County, and I was a nonprofit with zero county support. So this support allows me to do what I'm doing. And it's near and dear to my heart. I've done it a long time, and I'm very happy in Bertie County. And the people have been wonderful. Everybody has been wonderful. And it's not a job when you enjoy going to work. So thank you for that. And also, Mr. Wesson, I'm going to talk with you. If you want someone to come to that Medicaid event for people who are Medicare age, I would be glad to come and do that to get that word out as well. All right. That sounds great. Okay.
3 o'clock.
Okay.
All due respect.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Miller, if you could reach out to her.
Yes.
794-5320.
Yes, sir.
And share with Ms. Miller and give her like partnership.
Absolutely.
You know, be a partner of that on the 19th. We would love to have.
Yes.
Organization.
Absolutely, because we will catch that 65 and above. So someone who comes looking for Medicaid that's too old, yes. I will reach out to her, yes, sir, first thing in the morning. All right.
Linda McNair brought to our larger event, right? About two tables of folks from the college. So they were so impressed, signed with a lot of folks there, but now they're going to have one at their place. That's going to be really cool.
Okay. Oh, and also as an update, September 1st, we are starting the scope certification process. So by September of 2025, we hope to be a senior center of excellence. So. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. It's tied to it, plus the prestige as well. So we'll have bragging rights. Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Joe, can you bring your phone back in?
Everyone ready to go?
Everybody's in?
So I'm going to be adjourned.
There's such a one.
Second.
Thank you. All right. We'll say aye.
Aye. I'm sorry.
Hey, do we have any more of these? These came from Robert. Have you come in?